Joshua 14. I know we're taking I'm preaching through the book of Revelation, but we're taking a break for this Sunday. We will be back to Revelation next week, so relax. Now, I need some help. Someone name some judges. In the book of Judges, which is the book that follows Joshua, name some famous judges. Gideon. Deborah. Samson. All right, very good. Those are usually the ones we remember as those three. Okay, so I want you to keep that in mind. So here's my sermon. What kind of old person do you want to be when you grow up? I've been thinking about that. What kind of old person do I want to be? Do you guys know what type of old person? All of you are young. So have you thought through what kind of old person do you want to be when you grow up? This is a couple celebrating their wedding anniversary. As you can tell, the happiness, the joy that has come upon them. So this is not the type of old person I want to be, okay? So here, I found these. And I kind of picked them out because I thought, yeah, I can connect to these already. Everything, so you know you're getting old when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. Your children begin to look middle-aged. This is Robin and me. You look forward to a dull evening. You know, there used to be a day, 10 o'clock at night, it was like, okay, where are we going out? Where are we going to, you know, the night life is just beginning. Now at like 8 o'clock, we're done. A wonderful night is just to stay at home and do nothing. You know all the answers, but nobody asks you the questions. This is a horrible thing about getting old, is you finally figure everything out. My wife and I have now finally figured out all the answers on how to raise kids and everything, but my kids don't ask us. So everyone has to figure it out for themselves, I guess is the bottom line. You're asleep, but others worry that you're dead. This is funny. This was on there. You take a metal detector to the beach. That means I've been old for at least 20 years. You wake up early on mornings that you could sleep in, not by choice. And you don't actually remember the last time you stepped foot in a mall. Again, in my younger days, I used to love going to the mall. If you had any time, and now I don't. When is the last time we actually went mall shopping? I'm allergic to malls now. Yeah, so I overexposure from my young days. Inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened. I like that. All right, let's read the story. What kind of old person do you want to be? Joshua 14, starting in verse 6. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me. This is Caleb speaking, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today." How old? 85 years old. "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. So remember the story. Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt. They're wandering through the wilderness for 1 year. They come to the Jordan River, and God says, I have a beautiful piece of property that I'm going to give you. And in fact, it's so good. Pick one man from each of the 12 tribes. I want those men to go in, and I want you to see how great this property is. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's just, it's wonderful. So 12 men go in to spy out the land. They and Caleb and Joshua are two of them. They come back, and everyone, there's a couple million Israelites in the desert. They're like, well, how is it in the land of Israel? And the 12 spies are like, wow, you should see the fruit. The fruit's huge. And they brought some back. That's what this picture is. They brought back some of the fruit. It's amazing. It's like land we've never seen. However, we need to tell you that there's giants that live in the land, and they have well-fortified cities, and we seem like grasshoppers to them. They'll destroy us. We shouldn't go in. We shouldn't take the land. And so they decide to have a board meeting and to vote whether to go in or not. Now, wait a second. You have to understand, God already told them to go in. You know, when God reveals his will, it's not for a board to vote whether to do God's will or not. If God says to a church, I want you to go and reach people for me. I want you to go and make disciples. Do you think that the board should vote whether they should reach out to their community or not? Well, I think lots of boards do, and they vote, nah, it's too scary. Let's not reach out. It's always dangerous when you vote against the known will of God. And so they decide they're scared. And God was like, wait a second. I didn't ask the 12 spies to go in for you to decide whether you were to go in or not. I just want you to check out what the land looked like. I'm going to give it to you. And they're like, oh, we're too scared. And they vote not to go in, except for Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb said, you know what? It's scary. But you know, God, the same God that a year ago brought all those plagues on the Egyptians and opened up the Nile River, and that same God is going to, you know, he's going to do amazing things for us. Let's trust him. Let's follow him. But all the people voted, no, we're not doing it. And so God says, all right, you're going to wander in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 years until all of you that are 20 years and older drop dead. But Joshua and Caleb, because you follow me wholeheartedly, I'm going to take you into the future, into Israel, the promised land. So that's the background. So again, I'm going to ask the question, what kind of old person do I want to be? Now, Caleb comes to Joshua. They've been in the promised land for about 5 years, and they're beginning to conquer. And Caleb comes and says, hey, this mountain region, this is actually a picture of it, this mountain region was promised to me. This is the section that I checked out when I was a spy. The Anakites are the ones that lived here, and they were the most vicious, toughest people there was. And they lived, they had their cities on top of the mountains. When I was a kid, we would play a game called King of the Mountain. Did you ever play that when you were a kid? And I loved playing it, especially when I was playing it against little kids. Okay? You had an advantage when you were on top. As some little kid would come up, you push them down. You knock them off. And it was a lot of fun pushing them all off of the mountain. So the Anakites, they had the advantage. They're on the top. They can throw big stones and boulders down on you. They can pour boiling oil over you. They can shoot arrows at you from up above, and they're protected. So that they were the toughest and meanest group. They lived at the top of the mountain. And that's the one Caleb says, Look, I know I'm 85 years old, but I'm just as strong, I'm just as vigorous. Don't give me the pansies in the valley. I want the guys on the top of the mountain, the toughest, roughest ones. That's the ones I'm going for. And with God's help, that's what he got, the most luscious property. So, what kind of old person do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be like Caleb and Joshua, okay? And here's the three things that I see. First, I want to be an old person that follows God wholeheartedly. So you'll notice three times we're told that Caleb followed God wholeheartedly. In verse 8, Caleb says, now this is Caleb talking in verse 8. You notice at the end of verse 8, Caleb goes, I, however, follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So this is Caleb speaking. I know he's kind of judging himself. Then look at verse 9. The reason he says that is because Moses said that to him. Verse 9. So on that day, Moses swore to me. So this is Moses now talking to Caleb. The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God, what? Wholeheartedly. So this isn't just Caleb saying this. He's actually repeating what Moses said. And Moses went in and would talk to the Lord face to face as a man speaks with his friend in the tabernacle. And I have no doubt that God maybe said to Moses, man, that Caleb and Joshua, that's two men that follow me wholeheartedly. And so Moses comes out and tells Caleb, you are a man that follows God wholeheartedly. Not 7/8, not 3/4, not 1/3, but the whole heart. You follow after the Lord. Now, here's an example of a man who, when he got old, did not follow God with his whole heart. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughters. He loved Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, Tumiites, and all the rest. All right, verse 2. They were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines. And his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God as the heart of David his father had been. So when he got older, this is the danger when you get older. When he got older, Solomon, instead of giving 100% of his heart like David did, he divided it up and started worshiping all kinds of gods from his 700 wives, 300 girlfriends. And so Solomon's heart was divided into 1,000 pieces. One 1,000th of it maybe worshiped the Lord, and he worshiped Balaam and all these other gods. When you get older, be careful that you don't start dividing your heart up among other gods. When I pass away and I'm laid out in the casket, which sounds better than the coffin, I'm hoping when people pass by me, they don't go, oh, there's Pastor Joe. Man, he just so loved the hymns or so loved the choruses. Or so loved pews, or so loved chairs, or so loved what. I hope people say, there's someone who really loved Jesus. He lived for Jesus, he witnessed for Jesus, he died for Jesus. I hope that's what people say about me. I hope they're not like, you know, I do lots of funerals and people go, oh, there's Bob. You know what Bob loved the most, the Steelers. That's what his whole heart, he loved the Steelers. Everything about his life was the Steelers. You know, I like the Steelers most of the time. But I'm hoping that's not what people say when I'm laid out, that it's the Steelers or I liked Fords or I hope it's Jesus. So when I get old, I hope that I'm following the Lord wholeheartedly. Number two, when I get old, I want to be someone who doesn't retire. Now, I know I'm going to get into trouble here. I get it that you might want to retire from a job that you have, you know, at some company, And I understand that. I mean, after 40 years, maybe being an electrician, a doctor, an engineer, it's time to retire. You've put your time in. But retire from the work of the Lord? Never. I always say, I always find it amazing that when you hit 65, you get Social Security. The government, the very government that kind of fights against Christianity, now gives you money, Social Security, and your company that you weren't allowed to really share your faith, they now give you a pension, and they're now paying you at 65 to be a full-time minister for the Lord. Right? I just think that's amazing. After all that time you put in, they finally say, okay, from now on, from 65 until you go home to be with the Lord, we're now going to pay you money. You don't have to work for us anymore. We're going to pay you so you can be a full-time minister for Jesus, your Savior. Don't you think that's a great deal? That's never happened in the past, by the way. You go over 100 years ago. How long did you have to work 100 years ago? Was there Social Security? No. Was there pensions? No. How long did you have to work? Till you died. But now the government and whatever, for now you have the privilege of at 65 going, I can now serve God full time. I'm being paid. Okay? I talked to my dad just last week, and I said to my dad, I need to know, when did you retire? Because my wife and I have been debating this. My dad was the CEO of a hospital system in Chicago. And my dad says, Joe, I retired at 74. So I'm like, okay, I've got to. Because sometimes people ask me, when are you planning to retire, Pastor Joe? Because I'm going to be 60 in months now coming. And I'm like, I have to beat my dad. Okay, just so you know, there's just something in me. I've got to beat my dad. So I have to go to at least 75. So that gives me 15 years. But then I have a stepdad who's been married to my mother for like 45 years, and he is 92, but he retired at 90. And I'm like, oh no, am I going to be able to beat him? That's 30 more years. So, but you know, there's something in me. I'm very competitive, and it's like, oh, I've got to. I don't want to retire. So you'll notice that Caleb is 85 years old, but do you see what he says in verse 11? So verse 10, he goes, I'm 85 years old, but verse 11, I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. I'm like, wow. He's 85 years old, and he's saying, I'm just as strong. I'm just as excited to go into battle for Jesus or for the Lord to take that hill, that mountain, for the Lord. And I'm like, now, is he talking physically? Or is he talking spiritually? I get it if he's talking spiritually, because the Apostle Paul says, though outwardly, in Corinthians, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. I get that. We can keep growing. We should be men and women. As we get older, we should have even greater faith to do great things for God, not retirement. We're like, man, I've been walking with the Lord. I want to even do more amazing things in the name of Jesus for him. So I get that. But maybe Caleb knows the secret of the fountain of youth, found in Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. And that whole section is even youth grow tired. But those who hope in the Lord renew their strength. Or maybe Caleb knew the secret of 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It's an amazing verse. It says that the eyes of the Lord roam throughout the whole world to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. It's God, his spirit, is actually roaming and looking over the whole planet Earth to give divine strength to those people whose heart is fully committed to the Lord. And do we know that Caleb's heart is fully committed to the Lord? Absolutely. He's wholeheartedly committed to the Lord. So the Lord says, there's one. Give him divine strength because he's fully committed to me. Like, wow, what a promise. The hardest work is prayer. The hardest work is prayer. And so when we get older, maybe that's the job. Maybe that's the ministry we're really called to. I notice in most churches, it's the older people that go to prayer meeting. I realize the younger people, you know, their life is busy. They've got kids, they're running, they're doing stuff. And maybe that's why God doesn't take us home when we're young. Maybe God's like, I let you live extra long so that in your later years, you can really become a minister of prayer. Maybe as we get older, we realize that this is really the key to all success, is prayer. Maybe it's the older generations that have been praying for us younger people. That's why we've been, it's just, TJ, you were talking about your mother. Maybe the reason that you've come to the Lord and following him and love him is because she's been on her knees like this praying for you. Maybe this turns out to be the most important thing that we can be doing when we're older for the Lord. Oh, sorry, Pastor Paul Cope. But Pastor Paul Cope is coming on staff and joining us to be our visitation minister. You know he could retire, right? I won't tell how old he is, but you know he could retire. Does everyone know that? But he's like, he's not ready. He's a Caleb, a Joshua. He's like, oh no, I want to go full time. I want to win people to Jesus. I want to get out there. I want to see the church move forward. I mean, it's like, wow, we got a Caleb right in our midst. Exciting. So do you know who these people are? That's the Supreme Court. Yeah, I believe one of them has gone to his reward. Let me see. A president's term is 4 years. A House of Representatives' term is 2 years. A senator's term is 6 years. How long is their term? Maybe 10 years? Are their terms 10 years? It's a life term. Well, I mean, in reality, when do these men and women retire? Yeah, they retire. Some of them go into their 90s. They retire when the doctor says, you've got about 4 months to live. Then they go, oh, all right, maybe it's time to retire. Do you know that doing this job is full-time? It's not, they're not putting in 5 hours a week. It's actually a full-time job. Do you realize that they probably were all very successful lawyers and attorneys and have lots of, they actually have lots of money. They usually are pretty well off. Their friends are saying, hey, you need to retire. You need to, we want to go golfing every day. The retired life is great. The grandchildren, visiting the grandchildren, golfing, going to the beach. Why don't you retire? That's what they hear from all their friends and all their relatives. But they go, I am called to something so significant, something that is life-changing for Americans. This is a high calling. This is a privilege. I had to think a lot about this. But this is a role that I have taken that goes until I die. Does everyone understand that? Pretty impressive, right? But did not God call all of us to be ambassadors? So how can we retire? We're even called to something higher than those Supreme Court justices. We are called to actually make an eternal difference in the lives of men and women for Jesus Christ that go to heaven for all eternity. That's our calling. How can we retire? We're ambassadors. Way more important than those Supreme Court justices. How can we retire from serving the Lord? So number three, I want to be an old person interested in helping the younger generation succeed. So come over to chapter 15. Chapter 15. So Caleb He's going to put out a challenge. Caleb, I think there's a young guy that he knows is interested in his daughter. And so he puts out a challenge. So in chapter 15, verse 16, and Caleb said, I will give my daughter, now this is how you say her name, Aksah. I'm like, who wants to be, I don't know, is that good or bad? Your wife's name is an axe and a saw. You know, it sounds like a horror movie. But maybe she's a carpenter, so maybe this is a good thing. She knows how to cut wood and you know. But anyway, I'll give my daughter Aksah in marriage to the man who attacks and captures Kirith Sephar. Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's brother, took it. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksah to him in marriage. It reminds me of the story. There was a very wealthy gentleman that had a daughter in college, and lots of guys wanted to date her. And the father was suspicious that they were trying to date her to get to his estate, to his money. So one day he invites all the potential suitors. And so there's 10 young men, and he has a swimming pool. He puts the 10 young men on one side of the swimming pool, and he stands over at this side with his daughter, and he gives out the challenge. Any man who swims across, oh, by the way, the pool is filled with alligators and piranha. Any man who swims across with their undying devotion to my daughter can take my daughter to the college prom or whatever you have. And all of a sudden, flash! A young guy goes in, and he's swimming and fighting, and he gets across and jumps out. And the father's like, that is amazing. I did not think you get to take my daughter out. What can I do for you? And the young man says, look, I really like your daughter. The first thing I want to know is who threw me in, pushed me in on the other side. So he puts this challenge out. I think he knows Othniel likes his daughter. But he's like, look, my daughter is used to a father who is all out for God, who takes challenges at 85 years old. She needs to marry a man who's wholeheartedly devoted to God as well, that knows how to take a challenge, that will step out in faith and do mighty things for the Lord. So that's the challenge. It's not a big challenge. It's just this little group that you have to defeat. And Othniel, this young guy, steps up and, okay, I'm going to trust God. And he takes this group for the Lord. And he gets Aksah for his wife. Come now with me to Judges, which is the next book in the Bible. Many, many years pass by. And come to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. The whole beginning, the Judges 1, 2, and 3 talk about how Israel turns away from God after Joshua and Caleb pass away for many, many years. But let's just jump to Judges 3, verse 7. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God, and they served the Baals and the Asherahs. The anger of the Lord burned against Israel, so that he sold them into the hands of the Cushan Rishathaim, king of Aram, Naharaim, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. But when they cried out to the Lord, he raised up for them a deliverer, Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, who saved them. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him so that he became Israel's judge, in fact, the first judge, and went to war. The Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Aram, into the hands of Othniel, who overpowered him. So the land had peace for 40 years until Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Do you get the connection? Caleb is training the next generation of powerful, godly leaders. Othniel may have only been 20 years old. Because it's about 40 years. It's a long time. But God's moving in that young man. And Caleb invests in that young man. There's actually more that he does with Othniel. He actually leads him to the Spirit-filled life. But you would have to read the rest of Joshua to see that. And Othniel is the one that actually becomes the first judge over Israel in his older years. And he has the faith now to take on this whole nation that has made Israel captive to them. Here's some history. That's me. This is over 30 years ago. We're going to build. I'm planting my first church, and we bought this land, and we're going to break ground to build our first church plant. So that's me in the front. What's funny is, you know, I'm probably in my 20s there, my late 20s. I think I still have those same boots. The coat, I think, just recently I got rid of. But the guy on the plow is Ed Hodge Sr. He was one of my elders, okay? And then there's Ed Hodge Sr. We didn't have a church, so we would baptize people down in the Yaquigany River. So that's me on the left, and that's Ed Hodge Sr. on the right. And then this is Ken Williams. That's me. This is, we're building the church. We're assembling the pews together. And so that's me on the left. And then this was Ken Williams. He was my other faithful elder. Both Ed Hodge Sr. and Ken Williams actually were the same age. They were 78 years old. And they were just amazing elders for me. You realize I'm planting this church and I'm like 25 years old. I've only been a Christian 6-7 years. I wasn't raised in the Alliance or in a, you know, I didn't know anything. But these two guys, they were my Caleb and Joshua. And they like took me under their wing. Ed Hodge Sr., his wife, Harriet, had MS. And she had been in a wheelchair for, I believe, at least 20 years before the Lord took her home. And Ed Hodge Sr. was the most dedicated. He loved his wife. He had to feed her. He had to clothe her. He had to bathe her. It was like, what an example of a man who loves his wife and cares for her, and yet Jesus was number one in both of their lives. And it was just wow. And Ken Williams would go out on visitation with me. And here's how our visitation would go. We would visit new people in the church. And we'd come to their home, and Ken would go, and he was just that grandfather to everyone. He would say to the people, hey, do you know Jesus? You need to get saved. And he would go through the whole gospel and witness. And he'd go, are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? And the people would go, yeah, we are. And then Ken would go, all right, pastor, lead them to the Lord. And then I would pray with them. And then Sunday, Ken would go, the pastor led another couple to the Lord this week. It was amazing. But I knew it wasn't me. It was Ken. He was telling me. He was showing me. And I can just duplicate that 100 times over in many things. His compassion, his care, and what he was teaching me. I was the Othniel. I know, I'm going to get myself in trouble. Thomas, come on, come here. So I don't know if you know it or not, but you are an Othniel.
Me.
Well, we're going to find out if you are. I'm going to start out with little challenges. Little mountains. And then we'll work up to the bigger stuff.
I was going to say, your daughters are married.
Yeah, forget that. If you swim across the pool of piranha and alligator, I'll think about faith. No. So Thomas is coming on as a part-time interim. He's at the Pennsylvania Bible Institute. And I'm actually hoping all of you are Joshua and Caleb's to him. Is he going to fail? Do you think I failed when I was in my made mistakes? Yeah, my wife, I only hear my wife going, yes. Yeah, he did, yeah. Yes, I did. Okay, I still mess up. Yes, Thomas is going to fail. And I know it'll be easy for you to come running to me. Look at, you know, he's 18 years old. He loves the Lord. He wants to follow God. we have the opportunity to help them grow and take appropriate challenges in the Holy Spirit. And you know, Thomas is just one of six in our church that all feel a call to ministry, right? We've sent two off that are right now preparing. Jonathan and Jacob are at YWAM preparing for ministry. So I just, what kind of old person do I want to be when I grow up? I want to be like, hey, let's pass on our love for Jesus, our wholehearted devotion to the next generation that will maybe even do more amazing things that we'll be long gone in heaven, but we'll be like, wow, you know, we had a part in investing in these young people. So it's exciting. 1 year, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I have to give you the tough assignments first, though. Nursery. No, I'm kidding. I would not do that to you. That's one ministry I never did, Thomas. I was like, whoosh. That's... So, other than raising six kids. So, all right, let's look to the Lord. And let me have the elders for communion. Father, Lord, help us to be people, no matter what our age is, help us to be people that follow you wholeheartedly. Help us not to, when we get old, be like Solomon and start worshiping other gods. We want to worship you alone, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to be old people that don't retire. To be prayer warriors, to be witnesses, to be serving you in the church. And Lord, help us to invest in the young people, in the next generations after us, so that when we leave the church in the capable hands of young, spirit-filled men and women. And Jesus, we thank you for you coming to earth and investing in us and even dying for us. And so we come to communion and we ask that you would bless this time. In your name we pray. Amen.